This morning, brothers and sisters, we continue our reading in the Song of Songs, chapter 4 and chapter 5 through chapter 6, verse 3, is both our scripture passage and our text. Song of Solomon, page 667 in our Pew Bible. Beginning at chapter 4, this is the word of God. Behold, you are beautiful, my love. Behold, you are beautiful. Your eyes are doves behind your veil. Your hair is like a flock of goats leaping down the slopes of Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of shorn ewes that have come up from the washing, all of which bear twins, and not one among them has lost its young. Your lips are like a scarlet thread, and your mouth is lovely. Your cheeks are like halves of pomegranate behind your veil. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built in rows of stone. On it hang 1,000 shields, all of them shields of warriors. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle that graze among the lilies, until the day breathes and the shadows flee. I will go away to the mountain of myrrh and the hill of frankincense. You are altogether beautiful, my love. There is no flaw in you. Come with me from Lebanon, my bride. Come with me from Lebanon. Depart from the peak of Amana, from the peak of Senir and Hermon, from the dens of lions, from the mountains of leopards. You have captivated my heart, my sister, my bride. You have captivated my heart with one glance of your eyes, with one jewel of your necklace. How beautiful is your love, my sister, my bride. How much better is your love than wine and the fragrance of your oils than any spice. Your lips drip nectar, my bride. Honey and milk are under your tongue. The fragrance of your garments is like the fragrance of Lebanon. A garden locked is my sister, my bride. A spring locked, a fountain sealed. Your shoots are an orchard of pomegranates with all choicest fruits, henna with nard, nard and saffron, calamus and cinnamon, with all trees of frankincense, myrrh and aloes, with all choice spices, a garden fountain, a well of living water, and flowing streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, and come, O south wind, blow upon my garden, let its spices flow. Let my beloved come to his garden and eat its choicest fruits. I came to my garden, my sister, my bride. I gathered my myrrh with my spice. I ate my honeycomb with my honey. I drank my wine with my milk. Eat, friends, drink and be drunk with love. I slept, but my heart was awake. A sound. My beloved is knocking. Open to me, my sister, my love, my dove, my perfect one, for my head is wet with dew, my locks with the drops of the night. I had put off my garments. How could I put it on? I had bathed my feet. How could I soil them? My beloved puts his hand to the latch, and my heart was thrilled within me. I arose to open to my beloved, and my hands dripped with myrrh, my fingers with liquid myrrh on the handles of the bolt. I opened to my beloved. But my beloved had turned and gone. My soul failed me when he spoke. I sought him, but found him not. I called him, but he gave no answer. The watchmen found me as they went about in the city. They beat me, they bruised me, they took away my veil, those watchmen of the walls. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him I am sick with love. What is your beloved more than another beloved, O most beautiful among women? What is your beloved more than another beloved that you thus adjure us? My beloved is radiant and ruddy, distinguished among 10,000. His head is the finest gold. His locks are wavy, black as a raven. His eyes are like doves beside streams of water, bathed in milk, sitting beside a full pool. His cheeks are like beds of spices, mounds of sweet-smelling herbs. His lips are lilies, dripping liquid myrrh. His arms are rods of gold, set with jewels. His body is polished ivory, bedecked with sapphires. His legs are alabaster columns, set on bases of gold. His appearance is like Lebanon, choice as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet, and he is altogether desirable. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. Where has your beloved gone, O most beautiful among women? Where has your beloved turned, that we may seek him with you? My beloved has gone down to his garden, to the beds of spices, to graze in the gardens and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He grazes among the lilies. That's our scripture passage and our text. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Song of Songs, brothers and sisters, is a book in the Word of God, we stressed last week. Therefore, we don't read it as a titillating love song that the world composes, we established, but as our guide for the instruction in the true joy of love in the Church of Christ. It's a beautiful song about the art of loving, and a wonderful example of a pure and holy preparation for marriage by these two young lovers. It is a unique book indeed, and especially because of its beauty, its reality, and its purity. We should read it personally and in the families, especially to help our young people during the time in life in which their sexuality is awakened and they learn to give it a place in their life. The Song of Songs shows us how sexuality and eroticism receive a place in the kingdom of God. That's why it must be proclaimed and instructed in the Church of Christ to the people of God. Last week, beloved, we also placed the Song of Songs in the context of God's work of creation. God created man in his own image. Male and female, he created him. Whether man or woman, boy or girl, therefore, God created our sexuality with our body. Hence, everyone has to deal with it. The Song of Songs also shows us man and woman, this young man and this young woman, as God's creatures, together reflecting the image of God. They experience their sexuality, explore it in their preparation for marriage, learning to love each other and grow in this love. Their intimate unity of love is part and parcel of their being created in the image of God. In their agape love for each other, they learn to give the eros a place also. These two belong together and may not be isolated or separated from each other, but must be integrated. It's a relationship in the Lord, a true love in Christ, in which love and eros come together harmoniously. Solomon's Song of Songs helps young people, beloved, helps every one of us to give the aspect of physical love a place in our life. As I stressed last week, the book clearly gives it a place in marriage. There is a time for everything, also for the erotic aspect in love. Hence the refrain in this song, "Daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you by the gazelles and by the does of the field, do not arouse or awaken love until it so pleases." As we have seen in the life of the gazelles and the does, the rutting season is such a special time. Also in man's life, we don't live for the sex, but we experience and enjoy it in the sight of God at the time of God. Another one of the books in the wisdom literature puts it this way: there is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to embrace and a time to refrain. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 5. People aren't animals that are moved by their instincts. People, young people, boys and girls who learn to experience their sexuality in their youth should heed the warning in the Song of Songs: do not arouse or awaken love until it so pleases. Although our sexuality and eroticism are meant for marriage, brothers and sisters, that doesn't mean that it doesn't function before or outside of it. True love waits, we have seen. Yet we also learn from this Song of Songs that there is a time of preparation, a time in which we learn to handle our sexuality, a time we learn self-control, mutual respect, tenderness, etc. We learn that from this young couple, used by the Holy Spirit to teach us and guide us in the ways of love. We learn it by observing in these young people how they discover, experience, and explore their sexuality and eroticism, dealing with it in their thoughts, words, and deeds. So let's listen, therefore, to this book of love. The Spirit guides the church in the ways of love by the love song, by the Song of Love. We see the experience of love and the exploration of love. So I summarize the message of our text as follows: the Spirit guides the church in the ways of love by the Song of Love. We pay attention, first of all, to the experience of love, and secondly, the exploration of love. So first of all, the experience of love. It's important to note and stress from the outset, brothers and sisters, that the Song of Songs isn't just meant for the youth among the people of God. The Spirit guides the church. That is our theme. It's a book that's meant not just for the time in which our teenagers and young adults seek a relationship, fall in love, or prepare for marriage. It's for every one of us in the congregation. Yes, for the older members also, it is good to have a mirror held up to them, even though they may consider themselves experienced in love. How did God intend these aspects of love and intimacy? How do we do this? Love each other in Christ. And if something went wrong somewhere, how can we get back to the intentions and meaning of the Spirit? Yes, also, how do we instill the instruction of the Spirit in our young children? Use this guidance of the Spirit for our teenagers. Our children are never too young to learn how they have to handle their bodies, their inclinations and sexuality. This is not something they should learn by experimentation, but through education. How do we walk in our body and sexuality with the Lord as boy and girl, as dating couple, engaged fiancés, as singles or married people? The Song of Songs, beloved, is playful poetry as well as practical poetry. In a beautiful way, it describes what sexuality and erotic affection is all about and how we should experience it, what its boundaries are. The reading of the book, though, is not done or recommended in order that we should try it out. It's very obvious that the love between this young man and woman is arousing. It's expressed in their deep admiration for each other, in a sense of confusion with each other, and in great longing toward each other. This is the love God has worked in them, leading this beloved girl to the side of the adorable boy as by his hand, as also is expressed in our form for the solemnization of marriage, as by his hand. In this love of God, attraction, affection, and admiration have their place on the way to marriage. Yes, their longing, their loving, and languishing with desire also have their function on the way to marriage. Yet, this Song of Songs presupposes that the culmination of this process takes place on the wedding day. The consummation of love and sexuality and intimacy between the man and woman is restricted for marriage. As the preacher puts it in Ecclesiastes 9, verse 9, enjoy life with your wife, whom you love, all the days of this meaningless life that God has given you under the sun. Let me draw your attention, beloved, to a specific expression in our chapter to highlight this position. You are a garden locked up, my sister, my bride. You are a spring enclosed, a sealed fountain. This young woman, the bride-to-be, if you will, still is a garden locked up. She is a spring enclosed, a fountain that is sealed. Well, given the meaning for spring or for fountain to be a source of life, we know that it is the married wife who is the source, the wellspring of life, the cistern also from which the married husband only may drink. Although the bridegroom-to-be enjoys the sight and anticipates the joy and experiences the pleasures to some extent, there are boundaries. The garden is locked still, and the fountain is sealed until it so pleases and the time is ripe. In the time toward that day, though, his wife-to-be becomes more and more like a sister to him. The lover's exclamation, "My sister, my bride," certainly expresses the close affinity and anticipation. They are as close as a brother and sister can be, having known each other so long, meant to be united in one family with each other. "My sister, my bride," thus also expresses a spiritual relationship, a bond of faith. They are one in the Lord. Indeed, the one with whom you wish to share your life, your bed, must be one with whom you also share in the bread of the supper at the table of the Lord. One in true love. Having said that, beloved, we do see very clearly how this love and sexuality has its special experience on the way to the wedding day too. The bridegroom certainly doesn't walk around with his eyes closed. He has a keen eye for her beauty, and it sure excites him to some extent. He sees his wife-to-be, and he admires her beautiful body. He has seen it, even though not yet completely. Why else would he describe and depict it so wonderfully in our scripture passage? Just see how he does so and where he starts and stops. He starts with her eyes, the mirror of the soul, as we call it. It's when he looked into her eyes the first time that he saw the spark. Isn't that where falling in love begins? I still remember the day that I was charmed by her eyes, fascinated by her head, her posture, yes, her all. And she still is altogether lovely. And she still blushes too. Well, so is this lover when he sees her eyes, her hair, her teeth, her lips, her mouth, her neck, and yes, her breasts also. She is wonderful for as much as he sees her in her totality. No, he doesn't start with her breasts as the sensual ones, the lusty ones, present themselves and attract attention to men, of which we see so much today, too much, even among our youth sometimes. No, this godly young man who fears the Lord and loves his bride, he loves her for her personality, for her appearance, the unity of her body and soul, the integration of her body and spirit. Our text is speaking about love, brothers and sisters, the ways of love between a young man and a young woman. The man describes his beloved. He makes his comparisons with the world of nature, the way he knows it as a shepherd. He is not the man of the city, but of the country and the animals. He compares her, and sometimes we might find it difficult to understand. Why eyes like doves? Yet you sure feel what he means. In our time and age, we may wish to think of different comparisons and images to express and depict our beloved's beauty. He articulates his admiration for her beauty, though, and thus he shows her that he loves her. And she must have liked it. even though she realizes that she may not have been the ideal type in her time. Remember, she was dark due to her outside work. Yet she is the ideal one for him. And that's all that matters. By his description, brothers and sisters, the lover also indicates that normally speaking, he sees her eyes through her veil. In Bible times, women wore veils. Not the kind we see the Muslim women wear nowadays, the niqab, but more like a headscarf. In the tents and houses of the people, the women would take off these veils so that the lover could see her eyes, her hair, her mouth, her teeth, her neck, and her breasts partly too. The lover's description, therefore, shows that he knew her well and had seen her in the intimacy of the family gathering in her house. There, in the safe and relaxed atmosphere of the family members, he could feel at ease and observe her too. So the young man certainly did not need to go by his fantasy, but observed and experienced her beauty all around, including the beautiful appearance and apparel of her as his wife-to-be. He is in love, all right. And he knows what he is speaking about and longing for. Yes, this is poetry. And it is playful and practical. It's sexual and erotic too, as a work of the Holy Spirit. Thus, the Holy Spirit uses us to guide God's people in their admiration of beauty and affection, in their experience of love. Yet then he also teaches his people. He shows us the pure and holy way in the exploration of these ways of love. Our second point, the exploration of love. In chapter 5 of this Song of Songs, brothers and sisters, we receive a beautiful example of the thoughts and fantasies that play a role in this exploration of love. I slept, but my heart was awake. The young girl says, "Listen, my lover is knocking." The girl is at home and her lover is not yet living with her. If they had been married already, they would have been together in the night in the house. She is alone, yet she is very excited, aroused by her thoughts and fantasies. Whether she is actually sleeping or just lying there, giving free rein to her thoughts, but she is in bed and imagining things about her friend, her bridegroom. She remembers all the cute names he has called her, until her erotic fantasy imagines him coming to the door, knocking. My lover thrust his hand through the latch opening. My heart began to pound for him. Just imagine that happening. The atmosphere sure is charged. The fantasies hot and the hopes high. Yes, this is the Word of God. And this is the Holy Spirit inspiring a story that shows the reality of life. Yes, many or all can come along in these imaginations, I am sure. The Spirit of God guides us here to learn about these feelings and fantasies, to help us give them a place in the exploration of our sexual and erotic thoughts and deeds. It's important, beloved, to realize that this is a kind of vision, a dream, a half reality. The young man did not come in really. Neither did this describe a nightly rendezvous. When the excited bride opens the door to let her lover in, he's gone. And lo, it was a dream. In her thoughts, she may have gone after him and seen the guards keeping watch over the streets, over the youth of the people of the Lord. It's a sobering experience, that's for sure. It feels as if she got a beating, which woke her up and brought her back with both feet on the ground. Boy, was she close to slipping and falling. Hence, she pronounces her warning, cites her refrain, O daughters of Jerusalem, I charge you. Yet her longing was great. Her desire to see her love expressed was overwhelming to her. Tell him, I'm faint with love. This is how the Spirit trains our children, our young people. Know the feelings, recognize the moments, and know the realities of your desires, yet observe the boundaries. Thus they also learn to control themselves and show respect for each other. The story makes us aware, brothers and sisters, of the time in our life in which fantasies like this have their place. We know and remember these days. We are reminded that our children and young people also go through these times. Yes, everyone with a healthy body and development knows that there is this aspect of exploration in our maturing process. Exploration and emancipation, we call this process in child psychology. Children have to learn to know their bodies and learn to know the boundaries, the functions, and the times. Yes, they discover their body and explore the changes and experience the feelings, the thoughts, yet they also have to learn to respect the Lord in their bodies, honor the Spirit in their temples, and respect the boundaries in their walk with the Lord. In their relationships as boyfriend and girlfriend too, they must learn to respect each other, control themselves, and treat each other with tender, loving care. The bride-to-be especially has to know herself secure in order to feel safe with her feelings, her attractiveness, and her passions. How do we learn, beloved? How do your children learn their identity as boys and girls, their sexuality and erotic inclinations? How do they learn respect and observing the boundaries? It can be learned and regulated and controlled by prayer and in the power of Christ only. Did not Jesus' ministry begin with the temptations in the wilderness? And isn't he our high priest who is able to sympathize with our weaknesses, tempted as he was in every way, yet without sin? With him, we can overcome sin and temptation, boys and girls, young people. Hence, a relationship in the Lord is practiced already by a prayerful relationship of a believing boy and a believing girl. Then you may progress in exploring each other, yet prayerfully, respectfully, observing the boundaries. In that process, brothers and sisters, there is also the aspect of conversation and interaction among the young people. In chapter 5 of our text, we hear some of this conversation. It's interesting, on the one hand, to hear the bride-to-be pronounce her warning, the refrain in this song, while the friends, on the other hand, challenge her right to do so. They also challenge her in her exaggeration of the greatness of her lover. Yet it's all done in purity. It's all expressed in beauty. There is no doubt about her admiration and adoration for her beloved, as she describes him as a real hunk, or so I heard one of my daughters denote her lover. Everything is expressed in a beautiful way. He is radiant and ruddy, and his head, his hair, his arms, his legs, and his body make him a real Mr. Handsome. Another expression my daughters taught me, and not about her father. Everything is altogether lovely, and she enjoys just looking at him in admiration. Yet only in such a way that even in that regard, she hears her lover warn her and signal the boundaries. Turn your eyes from me. They overwhelm me. Chapter 6, verse 5. Again, my brother and sister, this is the instruction in the Word of God, and here we all learn to observe the boundaries as parents and as young people. Together, as Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to help each other and encourage each other to observe this instruction and to protect these boundaries. Christ knew the temptations, and he associated with those who had fallen for them, like the prostitutes and the tax collectors. He knew them, spoke with them, and delivered them by standing firm in every temptation. Why? So that we can go to him in every temptation, for every addiction, and with every struggle that is stronger than we are. In the power of Christ, we can. And we must know what we can and may do as long as God hasn't given the time yet. Yes, we learn to do so by listening to the Song of Songs, which as a book in the midst of today's perversion and corruption due to sin produces a sound so beautiful, a song so wonderful, re-echoing the sounds of a paradise lost. Yes, more, producing the sounds of a kingdom that is coming. A kingdom in which God will dwell with his people. A kingdom in which he will be our God and we may be his children. And a kingdom in which our life in body and soul will reach its perfect destination. Amen.